అష్టోత్తర శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నితిరిల ప్రవిష్ట ఓం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి ఆనందవడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి మామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోగోవినాథ శ్యామగుండి రాధాగుండి గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామకి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి స్వామివేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర ప్రేమనంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరాంగ్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ బుదలే శ్రీమద్ భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిధి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వదేవిం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణే. ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహగృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవన్నవాన్. శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవసాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్సవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాదస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్యం సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్సయతోన్వయా ఇతరతస్ అర్థేషు అభిజ్ఞస్వరాణ్ తేనే బ్రహ్మహృదాయ ఆది కవయే ముహ్యందియల్ సూరయాం. తేజోవారిమృతం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషా ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహగం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మత్సరాణాం సతాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా పరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుధ్యదేత్ర కృతిభిః శుశ్రూషుభిః తక్షణాన్. నిగమకల్పతరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుకముఖాత్ అమృతద్రవ సంయుధం పిబదా భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసికా భువి భావుకాః. సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోత్పత్త్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః. యం ప్రవ్రజందం హనుభేదమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాతరమజ్జుహావాం పుత్రేతి తన్మయతయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనతోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అతితితీర్షతాం తమోంధం. సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుం ఉపయామి గురుం మునినం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే. కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణుకొనితాదృదానేందోః మమ వాచి విజృంభతాం మురారే మధురీం న కణికాపి కాపి కాపి. నమాహోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిన్ ఇతి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణే శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యం నమ. వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాదిభువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమ. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాళయేశమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమలం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామళోయం కుమారగా వేదవేద్య పరం బ్రహ్మ భాసదాం పురతో మమ. మోగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘయదే గిరిం యత్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమ. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమ. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. So we'll start Bhagavad Gita classes tomorrow morning, and if by chance there's any change, I will phone up or Naveen or Anil, somebody will phone and keep everybody informed. But we will start the classes tomorrow morning, Bhagavad Gita, where we stopped the second chapter. So, Ekadasha Skandam. We were discussing, Krishna was saying to Arjuna, Uddhava, it's the this 12th chapter, as I mentioned before, is an introduction to the 13th chapter. If 12th chapter is understood properly, it is so subtle. The whole message in the 12th and 13th chapters are so subtle. It gets very... Krishna says himself to Uddhava, Uddhava, if you understood this, you have understood Bhagavatam. If you have understood this 13th chapter, Krishna says, we have understood the 13th chapter, you have understood Bhagavatam. It is so much a subject, it's difficult in the sense that, as Krishna himself mentioned before, that in order that this transcendental knowledge to penetrate inside, one needs to be in the high mood of goodness, Satugunam. Satugunam is the prerequisite or the preliminary requirement for understanding the verses what Krishna will talk in the 13th chapter. That is the reason why Krishna says in the 12th chapter, you saw before that we were discussing this, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, in the 12th chapter, Narodhedimam yogo na sankhyam dharma evacham na swadhyayam tapastyagam ishtapurtam na dakshinam వ్రతాని యజ్ఞ ఛందాంసి తీర్థాని నియమాయమాః యథా వరుందే సల్సంగ సర్వసంగాపహో హిమం సల్సంగేన హి దైతేయం యాదుధానా మృగాః ఖగాః గంధర్వ అప్సరసో నాగాః సిద్ధాశ్చారణగుహ్యగాః విద్యాధర మనుష్యేషు వైశ్య శూద్ర స్త్రియో అంధ్యజాః రజస్తమ ప్రకృతయస్తస్మిన్ తస్మిన్ యుగే అనఘ బహవోమల్పదం ప్రాప్తత్వాష్ట్రా కాయాధవాదయ వృషపర్వ బెళిర్బాణు మయశ్చాద విభీషణా సుగ్రీవో హనుమాన్ వృక్షో గజో గృధ్రో వణిక్పథాః వ్యాధః కుబ్జ వ్రజే గోప్యో యజ్ఞపత్న్యస్తథాపరే తేనాధీతశ్రుతిగణాత్మోపాసీతమహల్తమాః అవ్రదాతప్తసపసా సల్సంగాన్ మాముపాగదాః. సో ఇన్ దోస్ 7 వర్సెస్ Krishna gave us a list, a full list of people who have realized the truth through satsangam. So Krishna says that through Salsangam, Uddhava, you can get there to that realization. Self-realization can happen only through Satsangam. This is Krishna's firm statement on this. All processes, what is mentioned there, are purely a preparation for Satsangam. Only a preparation for Satsangam. To make us mature, pakvada. Pakvada means maturity. To reach that state of maturity, whereby one can take the full benefit from Satsangam. That's what Krishna is saying there. So to prepare us for that, all other processes will help. What Krishna mentions here, Yogam, Sankhyam, Swadhyayam, Tabasya, Tyagam, Ishtavurtam, Dakshina, Vratam, Yajnam, Chantirtham, Chandamsi, Yamam, Nemam, everything. All what is listed there, Krishna says, is only a preparation for Salsangam. Because Salsangam, that word itself is a very powerful word. Actually, strictly speaking, the word Salsangam means association of realized souls. Association of realized souls. And that association is purely the presence of that person. Presence of a realized soul. That's why the power of presence, that's what they call it. The power of the presence. In one instance, one person had a lot of questions. He wrote it down, everything. In the hotel he was staying, he wrote down whole questions. In the whole night he was writing all his questions, all the doubts inside. And in the train, when he was traveling to the destination, to the sage, to see the sage, he was writing all the further questions. When he got there, he did not open the book. He did not ask even one question. Why did that happen? Because as soon as he saw the sage and in his presence, all questions disappeared. That is the power of Satsangam. Then doubts are, remember this always, that doubts are nothing but a disturbance in the mind. That is where the doubts are coming from. When we say it's intelligence to ask questions, that intelligence is a disturbed situation. That is why the questions are coming. On the plane of absolute truth, spiritual realization, no questions. Look at all the Upanishads. They allow you to ask questions, but they don't answer the questions. Because behind every question, there is the answer also there. Only thing is, you have to remove that ignorance, what is covering the answer. And so therefore, all the rishis, sages, they will allow you to ask questions, but no answers will be given. And we are going to see that situation at the end of this chapter. An amazing situation. Many, many Bhagavata scholars are unable to understand. And understand in the sense that the way Krishna answered Uddhava, when Uddhava asked the questions, was that absolutely no reply to the question. Completely a different topic. That you have to take Bhagavadam and read it yourself. When you get time, if you take Bhagavadam and look at that, the questions Uddhava has asked and the answer Krishna has given, absolutely no connection. Normally, somebody asks a question, he wants the answer to the question, isn't it? That's what he is expecting when he asks a question. Krishna's point is, Uddhava, there is no point in answering the question. We will answer the questioner. Who is behind it? Who is having the doubt? That's the question. Not the doubt, who has got the doubt. If you have answered that question, then he won't have any more questions after that. So this you will see in this chapter, very strongly coming out later, that how Krishna puts it is, Sayesha Jivo Vivara Prasuti. Vivara means a whole. A whole. Prasuti means comes out from that. It gets delivered. Like the baby's birth is called Prasuti. So, Esha Jiva Vivara Prasuti. When this Jiva comes out through that hole, Krishna says, and it becomes all this, it creates all this world, it creates all this material world, and then it goes back through the same hole back to the where it came from. So, Krishna says, if you have understood that process, these questions are all in that time when it came out through the hole. Jiva's origin, when Krishna talks about that, you will see there that it is purely due to the conditioned state. When the soul is situated in the Jiva's platform, the soul will experience all these kinds of disturbances inside, and the result of that will be, there will be so many questions. Questions will come from that. So this chapter, Krishna is trying to explain to us, Krishna is telling us that all these people whom I have spoken about here, Sugriva, Bali, Rishabha, Nriksha, Tvashtrav, Kaya, Prahlada, Mahabali, and so many others, without any disturbances, they have reached the spiritual world. They have realized the truth. And Krishna has listed only those personalities. Of course, there is last two people, if you look in the list. One is gopis and one is yajñavatnis. Yajñavatni means the wives of the brahmanas. You also, if you look into the logic behind it, it's very interesting there. Krishna says, gopis realize the truth. Yajñavatnis tatha pare, he says. Yajñavatnis means the wives of the brahmanas. Now, gopis and the wives of the brahmanas, they belong to two different categories. That also you have to know. In what sense? Gopis had no spiritual training. Gopis had no spiritual training. They were ordinary people. They lived a life like anybody else in this world, did their business, what they had to do, which was mostly concerned with cow maintenance, cow protection of the cows. They were people of that group. Yajñavatnis, they belong to the wives of the brahmanas. You remember that? You remember these pastimes in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? In the 10th canto. Everybody knows. I hope everybody remembers these pastimes. Because when we study Ekadasham, it's all spoken in the background of canto 10 also. Canto 10 pastimes, Krishna's pastimes, is just not purely stories for us. It's a pastimes Krishna has performed. Vedavyasa has taken that and presented to us some spiritual understanding of those things. And when you understand the spiritual message coming through that, you can really, really enjoy those pastimes much better. That in the sense that Yajñavatnis, the wives of the brahmanas, you remember that story? That the Krishna on one day told all the cowherd boys to come with him. It was all pre-planned in Krishna's mind. Krishna has already planned all these things. Goes to the forest with the cowherd boys, suddenly they started feeling very hungry. Very, very hungry. And at that time, they had brought prasadam with them. Krishna says, let's have the prasadam. They ate. They ate the prasadam and then they were still hungry. And they were feeling so hungry, they started complaining to Krishna that let's go back home. Take the cows and go back home. Krishna says, no. We have come a long way. Now by the time we get back home, we'll be very tired. But far away from the place, Munjadavi, that's what they call it, where a lot of Darbha grass was going, that place. Munja means Darbha. Darbha grass was going. It was in that forest this pastime was happening. So far away from there, there was some smoke coming out from the fire. Some smoke was coming out. Krishna says to the cowherd boys that go there, the brahmanas are performing sacrifices there. Go and ask them for some food. And they will give you food, he said. So these boys, with this hunger, they went there looking for food. When they went there, none of the brahmanas listened to them and didn't give any food to them. They had to come back. The reason for that was they were performing that yagam and they were under the control of Kamsa. So naturally, when the boys went and asked for food in the name of Krishna and Balaram, they had no interest. Because they were servants of Kamsa. Kamsal bidana chachalan. In the Bhagavadam it says, because of the fear of Kamsa, they didn't want to keep any connection with Krishna. For fear of Kamsa. It's always like that, isn't it, in this world. If you are living under some particular regime, you don't want to upset the regime. Because if you're worried that anything can happen, I don't want to upset the regime under any reason. Till I know that the regime falls down. When the regime falls down, then you can. Up to that point, you will stay with the regime. And then you will culture the regime. But when the regime flops one day, under its mismanagement or misrule, like Kamsa's case, then one wakes up and then he changes to side. It's like politics, what goes on everywhere. So anyway, our Kamsa also was frightening all these people with that nothing to do with Krishna. So the cowherd, the brahmanas also were very careful not to deal with Krishna and Balaram. So it was then that they came back and reported to Krishna that they didn't give us anything to eat. In the Vishnu Sahasranama, if you look, Krishna's one of the names given to us is Yajna. Yajna means sacrifice. Yajna vai Vishnu.
Yajnam vai Yajnam vahana. So many Yajnam names is connection with Krishna. All the sacrifices are meant to please Krishna. And that Supreme Personality is coming and standing and asking for food, and the Brahmanas are sending them back. So what that Yajnam means? So they come back and say this to Krishna, and Krishna says to them, don't worry about it. Go back again. Their wives are cooking prasadam there, food. Now, they are wives of these Brahmanas. Remember that they are not like gopis. They are educated people. They know Shastram. Because due to the association with the Brahmanas, they know the Shastram. They know everything about Krishna and Balaram, who they are. So when they went and asked for food from the wives of these Brahmanas, Yajnapatnis they are called, without any hesitation, whatever food that was cooked, they picked up themselves and they started walking back with the food. They wanted to serve the prasadam to Krishna and Balaram and to all the cowherd boys. So when they did this, exactly opposite the way the Brahmanas tried to stop them from coming, isn't it? You know in the Bhagavadam these stories, that they were prevented from coming by the Brahmanas. But the wives, they won't care. They stopped everything, came back to Krishna, and they served a feast to Krishna and Balaram and to all the cowherd boys in that Munjadavi, where they were all present at that moment. As soon as they came there, Krishna blessed them with the transcendental knowledge to all those women and sent them back to the village after the feast was over. Now, look at gopis and look at these women, two different levels. These women, they had good spiritual knowledge, good background, spiritual background. Trained up, they know everything. They have studied Shastram also, heard from the Brahmanas a lot, and they had no other topics in their life discussions. Gopis' case, totally different. Ordinary people. They had no spiritual training as such. All they knew was Krishna, nothing else. They didn't know Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita or anything like that. And no Upanishads, no, nothing has gone. That's why Krishna says there, Tenadhida Shrutiganaha. These gopis, they have never heard about Shruti. Shruti means Vedas. Tenadhida Shrutiganaha. Novasita Mahatamaha. They have not performed any service to any great soul. They have not serviced any great soul. They have not performed any service to any great soul. Novasita Mahatamaha. Avrada Tapta Tapasaha. That they never executed any fasting, serious penances or anything like that. They never did that in their life. The only reference to gopis in the Bhagavadam as far as the performance of penance is concerned is Kartyayani Vratam, which they have performed in the, remember when they had 21 days or so, they performed this Kartyayani Vratam, where they brought all the ingredients, cooked food on the banks of the river Yamuna, bathed in the river, and they played there in the Yamuna river. That's when Krishna came and stole all their clothes. That pastime happened at that time. So, except that one particular vratam or fasting, what they have performed, there is no reference to anything else in the Bhagavadam for them. So, avradaha, tapta tapasaha, salsangamam upagadaha. So, neither they have performed any tapasya. You know what that word means, tapasya means. Tapasya means a commitment to a goal, object, spiritual realization, and accepting and tolerating all material situations with the sole intention of reaching that goal. To tolerate everything and to execute sadhana and upasana with the goal of reaching that final destination of self-realization. So gopis have not that intention either. They had no intention of liberation or anything like that. Gopis were not associating with Krishna, or one day Krishna will give us liberation. Even that was not there in their mind. Imagine that. When we come, we take Bhagavad Gita and we start seeing, or Bhagavadam when we study, we want to realize the truth, isn't it? That is why we study Shastram, with the goal of studying, realizing the truth. Gopis had no such goal, remember that. Gopis had no such goal of realizing the absolute truth, spiritual world, all these things were of no interest to them. They were just satisfied that Krishna was there, they loved Krishna. That's the only thing they had. So here in the Bhagavatam, when you look at that portion, we have to go back to 10th canto. We'll discuss that later, each verse. You will see there in that verses how Sukadeva Goswami bringing out certain very interesting nature of this realization of these two types of devotees. One, the gopis from one background. Another, the wives of the brahmanas from another background. The brahmana's wife, well educated spiritually and higher goals in life, because normally they have that higher goal that once you get that vasanas inside, of spiritual realization inside, only thing was they were assisting their husbands in their service, particularly performing the sacrifices. But they were also had tremendous affection for Krishna and Balaram, and they knew who Krishna and Balaram is. So they could not refuse anything, whereas brahmanas refused to send the prasadam for them. So this is two different type of people who are responding in two different ways to Krishna's request. And it was at that point, unlike gopis, Krishna understood that they don't require that long association what gopis needed. What gopis were required. Gopis needed that long association with Krishna. Gopis were supposed to be in tamogunam. Remember that also. That the in Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see three different types of devotees based on the modes of nature. The first part of Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, is modes in the ignorance. The demons, all the demons and gopis are listed along with that at that time. Then comes the Rajogunis, which are the Shishubala, Dandavaktra, Jarasandha, Kamsa, that group. 10th canto progresses like this. First those in the mode of ignorance, then those who are in the mode of passion. That is where all the kings come, whom Krishna killed, isn't it? Many personalities, Jarasandha, Shishubala, Dandavaktra, Salva, and many others. They all belong to that category, those in the Rajogunam. And then, very last of the 10th canto, you see devotees who are in the higher mode of goodness. That's where Sudama comes, and then Bahulashva, Shudadeva, the Brahmana, and many few others listed there at the end of that. So, Tamogunam, Rajogunam, Sattogunam. Three modes of nature, devotees under three modes. And they require three different kinds of operations. Three different kinds of patients, three different kinds of operations as well. So here, in this list if you look, you will see they are all mostly belong to that tamogunam characters, tamogunam personalities. That's why that only yajnavatnis were not in that category. The wives of these brahmanas were not in the category. They were from the sattogunam nature. That's why as soon as they got this message, Krishna had come, immediately the response was good, and as soon as they came, Krishna blessed them with the transcendental knowledge realizations and sent them back, and they all went back to spiritual world without any difficulty. They didn't require that long assistance, support what Krishna provided to the gopis. Gopis had a very long time with Krishna, isn't it? 12 years is quite a long period in the time in whole of Vrindavanam. So there it is. That is why that verse, the last verse, was saying, Tenadhida Shudiganaha, Nopasida Mahatamaha, Avrada Taptatavasaha, Salsanganma Upagadaha. That these verses are so important to, if you were to read through those verses and see that why it, Krishna is mentioning these things, important things about the gopis. Gopis had no qualifications, absolutely no qualifications. Gopis had. We were ordinary people. Ordinary people, when we say ordinary people, it's not a criticism in that way. What they're saying is that to understand the subtle side of Krishna consciousness, that requires a kind of purified intelligence, very pure intelligence. And that subtle and pure intelligence is called jnapti. In Bhagavatam, the word used is jnapti. There's a few different words used. Jnapti is used in the Bhagavatam. The word buddhi used in the Bhagavad Gita. And there are few other expressions in the same way in the Bhagavatam about that particular state of consciousness. Vaisharadi buddhi. in Bhagavadam. It's also referring to the same thing. Vaisharadi Buddhi, Nyapti, these are words related to that particular state of field. You have to get that transcendental message. The important thing is, the person who is receiving, he has to be in a particular plane, a peculiar plane that is. Only in that plane, what Krishna is going to talk about in the 13th chapter will go in. It's quite complex, that chapter. That chapter is brought the name for Srimad Bhagavatam as Paramahamsa Samhita. If you remember that, the word Paramahamsa Samhita. Paramahamsa Samhita means the literature that is discussed by Paramahamsas. Paramahamsas means who are swans, isn't it? Who have gone beyond Paramahamsas, topmost platform. They discuss Srimad Bhagavatam, and therefore it's called Paramahamsa Samhita. And that name has come to Bhagavatam because of this 13th chapter in the Ekadasha Skanda. That's how that, it's called Hamsa Gita. It's from that Paramahamsa. You will notice in every end of every chapter, it is Srimad Bhagavate, Mahapurane, Paramahamsyam Samhitayam. That is how every chapter ends. In the original Bhagavatam, if you look, you will find it like that. Srimad Bhagavate, Mahapurane, Paramahamsyam Samhitayam, Ekadasha Skande, Varnashvadharmobhakhyane Dashamodhyaya. That's why every chapter finishes. So why it's given like that? Because Paramahamsa Samhita is Srimad Bhagavatam. It is not a mundane literature. It's not a mundane literature. It is discussed topic because the topic that is discussed is a very, very grave subject. What Krishna is going to discuss in the 13th chapter. So Krishna is saying that before we understand this 13th chapter, this 12th chapter is an introduction to that. That in 12th chapter, Krishna is saying, all these people I am listing here, they have also realized the truth. They have also realized the truth. And those personalities, if you look at, you are surprised by that they never had this Vaisharadi Buddhi in them. What we are discussing. They didn't have that. Neither the gopis nor the any of those personalities, Sugriva. We will go through each one of them, how they dealt with Krishna. And all those, how their reaction was in their relationship with Krishna. Sugriva, Mahabali, Vibhishana, Prahlada, all of them. Every interesting person, every one of them are very interesting in their relationship with Krishna. How they dealt with Krishna, how they all became self-realized. So that is the importance of this 12th chapter. And Krishna is also stressing one very, very important point. It is so important that except through satsangam, Uddhava, it is not going to happen. Bhakti won't develop except through satsangam. That's why Krishna says, even in the last chapter, if you see, Krishna finished that chapter saying that prayena bhakti yogena satsangena vinodhava no paye vidyade sadrim prayanam hi satamaham. If you remember the verse 48, the one before the last what one, the verse in the last chapter, the chapter 11. He says there, prayena bhakti yogena salsangena vinodhava, udhava, without this salsangam, it is not going to happen. So he put the introduction for 12th chapter in the 11th chapter. Introduction for the 12th chapter, he put it in the 11th chapter itself. Prayana Bhakti Yogena. Only through Bhakti Yogam, Satsangam, that Bhakti Yogam, that will come from Satsangam. Not the other Bhakti, what we do in this world. The Bhakti, what we execute is different. Bhakti Yogam, Bhakti understanding from Satsangam is different. That we must understand that. Bhakti Yogam in Satsangam, if you want to know, you have to read this book, Narada Bhakti Sutram. The Narada Bhakti Sutram was written by Sri Narada Maharshi because when Vedavyas has compiled Brahma Sutram for the Jnanis, it's mostly the Jnanamargis, persons who follow the Jnanamargam, they study Brahma Sutram in depth. Whereas devotees, normally they study Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and literature related to Bhakti. Whereas Brahma Sutram is more closer to Jnanamargam. So similarly, Sri Narada Maharshi felt the need of writing a sutram for bhakti. And that is how Narada Bhakti Sutram had come to existence. So in Narada Bhakti Sutram, very precisely, Sri Narada Maharshi is telling us what is bhakti and what is bhakti sadhana, how do you get there, what is the goal, so many things are discussed in that. It's not a big book, it's a small book. Sri Narada Maharshi's Bhakti Sutram. Narada Bhakti Sutram it's called. If you read that book, you will understand what Sri Narada Maharshi's Bhakti is talking about. It's not, there is no reference there about our way of doing things. All that is kept out of it. Sri Narada Maharshi, like Krishna, when Krishna talks about bhakti, Krishna talks in the Bhagavad Gita 12th chapter, and Krishna talks about bhakti in the Ekadasi Skandam in the first four chapters. When Kavi, Hari, Andareshato, Navayogis talks about bhakti. So, proper understanding of bhakti will come when you study Sri Narada Maharshi's Bhakti Sutram or Srimad Bhagavatam, Ekadasi Skandam, where Krishna discusses bhakti. Or Sri Narada Maharshi discusses bhakti with Vasudeva and Devaki. Quoting from Nimi, nine Navayogi's discussions with King Nimi. So that's where bhakti is discussed. So that bhakti will come from satsangam, Krishna says. Prayana bhakti yogena satsangena vinodhava. I don't see any other way you can have it, he said. That's how Krishna puts it to Uddhava. Prayana bhakti yogena satsangena, no upayam. There is no other way of having it. So having said all that, in this 12th chapter, Krishna is talking about satsangam in serious way, in seriously. And says at the end of that, he says there that rajastama prakritaya tasmin yuge anakha. Uddhava, those who had rajogunam in them, a lot of rajogunam, and those who had a lot of tamogunam in them, all this list is referring to them. All this list what's mentioned in the Bhagavadam is referring to this Rajogunam and Tamogunam personalities. Sugriva, Vibhishana, Mahabali, Prahlada, all of them, who are they? They were all born from the demonic families, isn't it? Imagine that. Mahabali, who is Prahlada's grandson. Prahlada, Hiranyakashipu's son. So there itself, two people you can see what the background is. Similarly, Vibhishana, who? Ravana's brother. After all, he is Ravana's brother, isn't it? You may say that, oh, Vibhishana was devotee, but he is Ravana's brother at the end. So there will be some impact from Ravana on him. And these personalities, Krishna's point is, Tvashtra Kayathavadaya, Vritrasura, another story, the Bhagavad, Vritrasura. These are Krishna's examples to give it to us as devotees. Krishna saying, all these demons, they have become and realized the truth through satsangam. So from that, Krishna says, you can understand the power of satsangam. Power of satsangam. Krishna wants to stress this point again and again to us. That satsangena vinodhava, without satsangam, it will not happen. It will not happen. Prayana bhakti yogena satsangena vinodhava. That's why importance is given to satsangam so much. Rajastama prakritaya tasmin yuge anakha. In all times, in Tridayagam, Kadayagam, Dvapareyam, Kaliyagam, in all yugas, these demons have realized the truth through the satsangam. That's the beauty of that. Now we say that, oh, in Satyugam everything was very easy. And Tridayagam is still better. Dvapareyam is not too bad. But Kaliyagam is hell, we say, isn't it? So therefore, we make that an excuse not to try for spiritual life. Quoting the word Kaliyugam. Kaliyugam is the cause, therefore we can't practice spiritual life. Many people say like that. Actually, that argument has no support. No form, because spiritual life and spiritual realizations, this world cannot stop you from having it. We, body belongs to material nature. This material body belongs to material nature. We belong to Krishna. This separation between the body and us has to happen here before we leave this body. And if we identify with our connection with Krishna strongly, Krishna's point is that no matter what happens in the material world, it cannot stop you from realizing the truth. Krishna is very strong about this point. No matter what happens in the material world, this cannot come on your way in realizing the truth, in spiritual realization. Krishna is very emphatic about this. So, one thing we have to accept is that in Satyugam, Prahlada and all are belonging to that time. In the Satyugam is Prahlada's appearance. Hiranyakashipu also appeared in Satyugam. So, in spite of what Hiranyakashipu has done to Prahlada, he realized the truth, Krishna says. So time is not, although generally we will say that in Kali Yuga people are more fallen and people have a short span of life and their intelligence is dull. They cannot, when they say intelligence is dull, they have got bad intelligence. Don't get me wrong. They have got intelligence, but only thing it's in the wrong direction, the intelligence. So Rajastama Pragradaya, Tasmin Yukhe Anakha. That Rajasa and Tamas, Rajogunam and Tamogunam is in them, but that did not come on their way in realizing the truth. Rajogunam and Tamogunam was there in them, but that did not stop them from realizing the truth. Because generally, only those who are in Sattugunam will understand this, isn't it? But Krishna is saying, because the power of Satsangam is such, that even though they were influenced very strongly with Rajogunam and Tamogunam, they still realized the truth. This is the message that's coming from there. So, now we will go through these verses. Who are the personalities we are talking about? Very, very interesting parties are there mentioned. And you will see there that the Satsangam, as I mentioned before, it's the power of presence, isn't it? The power of the presence of a person, that is Satsangam. So if we get the proper Satsangam, as far as Krishna is concerned, you have already got away from this material life. And in that connection, Krishna mentions there that the proper Satsangam, if you get proper Satsangam, that means realized souls. If you get their Satsangam, you will escape from here very easily. There are many, many cases like that. Simply in the being in the presence of such great people, personalities, self-realized souls, they have escaped from here. They have got the realizations, they got the renunciation, and they got the ultimate goal, reached the ultimate goal at the end. Simply through the power of the presence of the great soul. Without doing any sadhana, without getting involved in anything, simply due to the satsangam. That's what Krishna is saying there, satsangam. So, Krishna, when he is talking about satsangam, he is referring to such personalities who are liberated souls and who have reached that state of self-realization. And if Krishna says that is that. So, if you look at that verse 3 to 6, you will see there, that salsangenehi daiteya yadudhanaha mrigaha kagaha. Look at that. Salsangam, through salsangam, those who have benefited, he says, daiteya, daityas, who are the demons, yadudhana mrigaha kagaha, birds and animals, gandharvaha, gandharvas, apsarasaha, the apsaras women, nagaha, the serpents, siddhaha charanaha guhyaha. Siddhas, Charanas and Guhyagas. Generally, these personalities, Siddha, Charana and Guhyaga, they lived a much happier life than human society, human beings. And because they are in the higher plane of happiness, Siddhas and Charanas, they can travel from different planets and they enjoy life in a different level, higher level. But because of that, they had desire for spiritual realizations very little. Human body is more conducive for spiritual realization. So therefore, they envy us, saying that in human body you have an opportunity of self-realization, which they don't have. Even they, Krishna is saying, Siddhaha Charanaha Guhyagaha, even they realize the truth while being in that body. Then, he also says there, Vidyadharaha, Vidyadharas, Vidyadhara, when we come to Vritrasura's story, we will see how that happened to him. Vidyadharaha, Manushyeshu, among the human society, we notice there, he doesn't talk about Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. He says, Vaishyaha, Shudraha, then Striyaha, Andhijaha. That means, Vaishyas, Shudras, and then women, and Andeja. Andeja means fallen people. The fallen, the fifth community or lower classes, in other words, when talking about in terms of modes of nature, do not take this as a kind of breaking of people in the base of body. It's not based on the body. It's based on the consciousness. And it's based on the consciousness. So therefore, generally, they are all categorized in one. What's the Manushyeshu? Vaishyaha, Shudraha, Striyaha, Andhijaha. And then all of them, what is their nature? Rajas tama prakritaya. Their prakriti, their nature is rajogunam and tamogunam. Their nature is rajogunam and tamogunam. Rajas tama prakritaya, tasmin yuge anaka. They all manage to do that in all yugas, all times, anaka, O sinless Uddhava. Understand that. From this you can understand the power of satsangam, he says. Then, bahavo malpadam prapta. All next line, he says, all these people, following people, I am going to say, they also come back to me. How? Tvashtra kayadhava adeyaha. Tvashtra. Tvashtra means Vritrasura. Chitragedu story. You remember in 6th canto? We'll come to that story. Because that story is a very, very interesting story in the Bhagavadam. People read that story and they have millions of questions after that story. But if you understand that story from a spiritual plane, you won't ask those questions. Generally, we read those story like we read any other story. And then we start getting a lot of doubts in our mind. That's where you will see Chitragedu had 10 million wives. It's mentioned there. And there were some devotees who were very disturbed about that. That how could Chitragedu have 10 million wives? And it is there in the Bhagavatam clearly mentioned he had 10 million wives. And this question came up in 1975. They pushed Prabhupada to get an answer for that. Some devotees had that difficulty. They found it very hard. You will see in Prabhupada's conversations, if you read 1975, some devotees in LA, they asked Prabhupada about this. Prabhupada, how do we understand this question? Now, Prabhupada mentioned at that time that in Puranam you have to understand certain things in a certain way. So this 10 million wives question came up there, and Chitragedu had 10 million wives. Just like I mentioned before also these things, that Bhagavadam while reading talks about Ugrasena had 4 billion servants. You know, in Krishna book it's there. Ugrasena had 4 billion servants. So devotees were disturbed over these things, that they could not understand this. What happens is when such issues come up, you tend to reject the whole Bhagavadam. Isn't it? You think that somebody has written this story and is this all true? We question all these things. So it's just our mind is like that, our intelligence and mind. This is what I'm saying, that when we come to spiritual life and when we have to understand Shastram, we have to be in a peculiar plane to mood to get the message through to us. If we in Rajogunam and Tamogunam is very predominant in us, then we will lose the message and we will give importance to things which are not prominent, which are not particularly important. We'll discuss this later. When I come to Chitragedu's story, I'll talk about that. But my point is this, that Vritrasura is an important example in the Bhagavadam. And that whole story of Vritrasura in the 6th canto, Vritrasura's story in the 6th canto is an important story because there is so much spiritual understanding of life in that. When I say spiritual understanding, a lot of subtle things are spoken there. Subtle things. And it is these subtle things that takes you in spiritual life. Spiritual life is not gross thing. Like those who are very much in a gross platform, they will see the world, everything based on their equations and formulas and other things, what they believe in it. And everything has to fall in place with that. Otherwise, they can't accept. But spiritually advanced people, they see the world in a different way. They see that behind this, there is some things happen due to some other reasons. On a subtle level, they can see those things. And that is what, when Srinarada Maharshi and Angiras Maharshi, they came to see Chitrakedu. And if you read through that discussions between them, you will see how much subtle side the whole life goes on in this world. And what happens on a subtle platform. It's a beautiful episode in the Bhagavadam, this Vritrasura story. And there again, so much knowledge comes from that in different levels. I'll give you some examples. If you think about this and see for yourself that how it works in our life in this world very much. When Vritrasura spoke to, what is his name, to Lord Indra, he talks about the Jagrat Sapnam Sushupti state. A demon standing in the battlefield, he is talking to Indra about Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti. Have you heard this story anywhere? Have you heard in Afghanistan or Pakistan, they're standing each other and talking about Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti anywhere? Discussion about Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti. But if you analyze it, just try to see this point. These three states are very, very important for spiritual life. In the Jagrat state, vacant state, and Krishna is going to talk about this in the 13th chapter to a large extent. In Jagrat state, the body is there, the mind is there, I am there, isn't it? When I say I am there, my false ego, or I am the consciousness, I am there. Only if you carefully listen to this, you will get this to into your understanding. In the Jagrat state, I am there, the mind is there, the body is there, the senses are there. When I go to the dream state, what happens? I lost my body there. Gross body is not there for me anymore. I'm not identifying with the body at that time. I'm only identifying with the mind, and I am in that world of the mind. Isn't it? In the dream world, which means the world of the mind. I'm in that world. So I lost my body in the vacant state, and when I move to deep sleep state, I lose my mind also. I lose my mind, I lose my senses, I lose my intelligence, I lose my body. I lost everything. And then in the deep sleep state, I am there. How do we know I am there? Because when I wake up, I am reporting back saying that I had a good sleep. Isn't it? That everybody knows. We all know. Every day Krishna is giving us this experience to sleep well in the night and wake up in the morning and say that I had a good sleep. Maybe a few hours, 2 hours, 3 hours, doesn't matter. But when you are in that deep sleep state, you have experienced happiness. There is nobody can deny that, isn't it? We experience happiness. When we wake up in the morning, in the Saptama Skandam, in the seventh canto, Prahlada, when discussing Sadajara Nirnayam, that means Srinarada Maharshi's instructions with Yudhishthira Maharaj, there is a verse there where he talks about that the verse says, Supta Prabodayo Sandha Atmano Gari Atmadrik. Pashyan bandhanja mochanja maya matram na vastuda. In between all these discussions, now and then Surya Goswami will insert things like this. The serious matter, he will bring it in. Supta prabhodayo sandha. Supta means the deep sleep. Prabhoda means the vacant state. That sandha, the juncture, the junction between the two. That means as soon as you woke up in the morning from the deep sleep state, I don't know if everybody gets deep sleep or not. I don't get it, so I'm saying. So I feel envy for those who get it. Because you know what it is like. When you get a good sleep, when you wake up, you feel good. Isn't it? So, supta prabhodayo sandha. But if you have got it, especially when you are young, you get it. When you get older, that goes away. Because the subtle body becomes very active in the night. The subtle body has grown so big. The karana shariram is finished. So there is no sleep at all. The Sushma Shariram has grown very big, full of vasanas inside and bringing a lot of thoughts inside. So these thoughts are coming up and building up inside with the result that the sleep is disturbed. That's why all the older people will say, I couldn't sleep night. You can't blame anybody. It is that Sushma vasanas inside. That's the way we are created. Krishna's creation is like that. So, Supta Prabhodayo Santha. In that point, when you have woken up and you come to the vacant state, that junction at that time between the two, the soul is thinking, Atmano Gati Atmadrak. He is thinking, the soul, it all happens very fast inside, we are not even conscious of all these things, that is thinking, I was having a great time in that Sushupti. Now I am going to vacant state and I am again trying to enjoy, which of these is good? With the one which in the deep sleep, was it better? Or this enjoyment I am going to get from the through the mind and the senses and gross body, because that is what we are trying every day, isn't it? What are we doing in this world? Morning to night, there's only one goal, to become happy. And to get happiness, we are working hard, earning money and doing various things just to become happy. That's the goal, isn't it? So is that happiness was there in the deep sleep state, or is that happiness in the vacant state which is better? This is the question. The soul has a second to think of, not even a second, a fraction of a second to think before that you have finished your deep sleep, you are back in the jagrat state. So he says here, Pashyan Bandamja Mokshamja. Pashyan Bandamja Mokshamja Maya Matramna Vastuda. At that point, a realized soul will know that both the deep sleep experience and the awakened state experience are nothing but a activity of Maya. Activity of Maya. Pashyan Bandham Cha Moksham Cha. Bondage and liberation is Maya Matram Na Vastuta. It is only Maya that is giving us these experiences in us. Which one? The happiness of the deep sleep, the happiness what we are going to experience in the vacant state, or all both products of Maya. That's the most important thing. Narada Maharshi, Sri Narada Maharshi is saying this to Yudhishthira Maharaj in the Rajasuyam sacrifice when they were present there. Remember in the Saptamaskandam, that's what the discussion was about. Now, what is this driving at? If you understand this, that both are Maya's products, have you thought about people who commit suicide? Why do they commit suicide? As much as when we leave the gross body and when we leave the mind, we get happiness in the deep sleep state. So if a stage comes in life, this is, I'm talking about those who are going through the suicide attempt or who are trying to commit suicide, they realize because inside somebody is telling them, without body and mind you can be happy. Because that instinct is coming from inside, because they don't know where it is coming from, because they don't study Shastram before they commit suicide, do they? They go and commit suicide without thinking anything. But that guidance, the message is coming from inside somewhere, that without body and the mind, they can become happy. When this body and the mind becomes a burden in their existence, in this body, they decide to think, I don't want in this state. There is another state where I can be happy. And that is why they get rid of the body. And that's when they commit the suicide. And then they move on to the deep sleep. They want to reach there. But thinking that deep sleep is a real state. But actually deep sleep is also not a real state. So that is the reason why we say it is a fact that deep sleep state, you are enjoying self-realization to some degree, but because it is covered by tamogunam and it is controlled by Maya, that is not a real thing. Therefore, through spiritual life, we have to get rid of the gross body and the subtle body. That is the secret behind it. You should not forcefully give up this body. That won't help, because that will only create more problems later. So, Bhagavatam is pointing out to us that forcefully don't give up the gross body. We accept that this material body is a source of misery. The subtle body is a source of misery. Both are a source of misery, no doubt about that. We have to get out of this. That is the goal of self-realization, to free yourself from this. But doing that has to be done through adhyalpam, in a spiritual way, not through the materialistic way. Material way is this, getting. But both recognizes that body and the mind is not going to give you happiness at the end. Is that clear, the point? That the real happiness is not being within this body, is not being with this mind inside, subtle body. Real happiness is when you are out of it, both these two things. And that's why the process of spiritual life is slowly moving away from the body, bodily plane and the mental plane, and move on to the spiritual plane. That's what Krishna is discussing in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. By moving in a regulated way, in a proper way, how to move out of this, away from the vacant state, the dream state and the deep sleep, and coming to the fourth state of self-realization. So, that is one important point to remember. Ekadasha Skandam will discuss many interesting aspects like this. That when we, what happens is, when somebody commits suicide, we ask, why did he commit suicide? What happened? Then we will find some reason, isn't it? We'll find some reason. Oh, that he lost his job, or his girlfriend left him, or something like that. We'll say like this. The only thing we have to understand is, he is trying to enjoy the material world through body and senses and the mind, and it was not happening, and he is looking for happiness. So at some point he gets a signal from inside saying that, look, without body and mind you can't be happy. Once that message comes, you are in trouble. And then when you don't have any spiritual understanding, you will automatically do such blunders in life, committing suicide and things like that. Krishna never accepts that. Krishna is saying that there is a process. Follow the process. It is true that the material body and the mind is not a source of happiness. It is accepted. But how to get out of this, from this platform of body and mind, that is the process of spiritual life. So, tasmin, rajastama prakritaya, tasmin yukhe anaha. Then Krishna talked about the bahavo malpadam prana. He says there, isn't it? So, now, yeah, I'm saying this, and then there are most of the personalities listed there. They had bad habits, durachayam, duracharis, rajoguni, tamoguni. And all of them reach the state of self-realization through satsangam. Krishna mentions that there. There are many examples in this. There was, throughout history you will find certain personalities like that. They were devotees. But they had terrible addiction for something. Something that they could not come out of it. Some people had addiction for alcohol. Some people had addiction for women. And they were great devotees. You may be amazed that some of their histories when you read, that they had such love for Krishna and love, attachment for the Srimad Bhagavatam. But when it comes to these things, certain weaknesses in them. There was one personality like that. He was very attached to alcohol. He couldn't give it up. He couldn't give it up. And sometimes there were instances when they used to perform drama. And in that, he will act like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that. And he had alcohol in him and he was acting. But when he acts in the drama, it gave such a impression to people of real Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was standing there. To such an extent he could present himself. Now, you may say that, oh, he was not following any regulative principles or anything. But bhakti is sometimes different. All these regulative principles also don't come there. Inside, if somebody has developed that kind of relationship with Krishna, nobody can stop it from them. So sometimes when they performed these dramas, and when he acted in that particular drama, sometimes normal devotees, Vaishnavas will come. And they, seeing that action, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in action, when they see that, they want to pay their obeisances to this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the stage. Seeing the way he has presented that. And this became a problem for him. So what he used to do, when Vaishnavas came to pay their obeisances to him, he used to keep two alcohol bottles in the front. So when they see that, these Vaishnavas will run away from there. They got frightened, oh, this person is not what we thought about him. So there you can see that he managed to create that consciousness in them, devotion, bhakti, state of bhakti in them, through his process of acting. But they give prior importance to the habits of the person. So when they see these bottles, they ran away. They didn't stay there anymore. They went away from there. So this person was like this for a long period of time. He couldn't give up this problem. This is his inborn, ingrained problem in him. Eventually he met one sage, comes to this show when he was doing that. And He says to him, and the person came, and he also watched the show when he was acting in that. After the show was over, he did not go to this saintly person, the sannyasi who came to see the show, but sannyasi went up to him and paid his obeisances to him. Sannyasi paid the obeisances to him because he was so good in presenting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the stage. All Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, he was acting. And he was so good that he was very impressed by that. He himself felt it inside. He went and paid his obeisances to him. At that time, he also paid his obeisances back to the sannyasi. And then he said to the sannyasi that, I will not associate with you because you would not like to associate with me if you know me about it. Sannyasi said, no, that I am satisfied with what you have done and what you are doing. Other things is not matter to me. It doesn't bother me so much, he said. So eventually he took his shelter, the sannyasi shelter, and he told the sannyasi that this is my problem. I cannot do anything about this problem. I have it in me and I have done it for so many years now. It's impossible for me to give it up, he said. So sannyasi told him, okay, I'll give you a mantra. You chant this every day and you will come out of it. He says, no, I can't do that, he says. Why? Because I don't know what I'm doing myself most of the time. Alright, then I'll give you some other different upasana, sadhanas he gave him to try out. He says, I can't do anything of that. I can't do any sadhana, he says. What to do? If somebody says to you, I can't do any sadhana, I can't chant, I can't read Bhagavatam, and then he says, all I can do is to take prasadam. So if he says like that, what do you do? Then all you can do is to give him prasadam, isn't it? So our sannyasi also understood the problem. He said to him that, okay, if it is that like that, because you don't know everyone's mind. We are all in different difficulties in life. And we are gone through different difficulties. We get fried in different ways in life. And we don't know what we can do, what we cannot do. It's easy to say to somebody, chant 16 rounds every day and follow all the principles and everything will be all right. And it may last some time, but after some time may happen the problem if the mind is not fixed in Krishna consciousness. So eventually sannyasi understood the problem. His problem is his own mind. So he says to him that, all right, there's only one thing I can do, that the mind is the whole problem behind it. You surrender. You surrender everything now. That there is only way you can get out of this. Complete surrender. He says, I can surrender unto you everything. Because sannyasi was well known. I'll surrender everything to you. But don't tell me anything to practice, he said. No sadhana, no anushtanam, no upasana, nothing. Nothing of that sort. Don't tell me come for Mangalarati or anything like that. I'll be drunk lying somewhere. And if you tell me that I have to come and attend Mangalarati, that's not going to happen. Don't ask me to do anything, he said. But I will surrender myself to you. That was a big turning point in his life. Big turning point in his life. Because surrender is the key to success in spiritual life. Nothing else. We may think it's all the shastram and all the verses and all the knowledge in the Bhagavatam. That is of course there to help you. But Krishna wants that false ego to go from inside. So he found a person where he could surrender his false ego. He said, I will do anything you tell me to do, but don't ask me anything to do with these kind of things like chanting and dancing and feasting, all kinds of things. I can't do anything like that. So he said, all right, if it is like that, surrender your body, mind, everything to me, he said. He said, yes, I have surrendered everything to you. I'll accept what you say. Sannyasi's reputation was high. He was a well-known sannyasi. And he had many disciples and he was an elevated soul. So by surrendering to him, this personality, he said at one point, I don't know about Krishna. I don't know about Krishna, but I know about him, he said. I have absolute faith in that person. So what is spiritual life is all about? Spiritual life is nothing but surrendering your false ego somewhere. Either you have to surrender to Krishna or surrender to your spiritual master. Somewhere you have to surrender. That is spiritual life. Sharanagati means this. Ramanuja Sampradayam, Madhvacharya Sampradayam, Chaitanya Sampradayam, all Sampradayas are only talking about the Sharanagati. But that is spoken in the background of Upanishads and Vedas and everything to make it understand. Or those who are intellectuals, Buddhijivi they call it, isn't it? So for them who wants logic and reasoning, for them all these things are necessary. But bhakti process is a lot simple that way. That surrender is the key thing. So he surrenders and then afterwards he has problems with his mind. So at that time the sannyasi told him, you have surrendered the mind to me. You can't tell me that you've got problem. It's high. Now how I will decide how the mind should go on. And in course of time, due to that association with the sannyasi, he has given up those habits and came back, became a first class devotee later. But when he has realized and came to that higher status of realization, spiritual realization, some of the things what he has spoken was that that he says that I know only this spiritual master. I don't know anybody else. I don't even know about Krishna. But I know what he is speaking to me is the truth. So this realization can happen to people. Again, satsangam. That's the power of satsangam. Talking about that satsangam has changed people to such levels. In the Bhagavadam, if you look, Sri Sukadeva Goswami talks about gopis' pastimes with Krishna in the 8th chapter of the 10th canto. If you look at 10th chapter, that 8th chapter is very important chapter in the 10th canto. Why is that? Because it is in that chapter, gopis have become particularly attached to Krishna. Very attached to Krishna. It's all about Krishna's childhood pastimes. And in that pastimes is the famous pastime when the gopis reported to Yashoda Devi about Krishna stealing butter. Isn't it? Krishna goes to one gopi's house, smashes all the pots, steals the butter from there and goes away. And in that process, he has done a lot of naughty things in the house. One baby was sleeping. While leaving home, he went and pinched the baby's face and walked out from there. Made him to wake up from there. Baby was sleeping. Baby means about 1 year or 2 year old boy sleeping. Woke up that child and walked out. While going, he did that as well. After stealing everything. Before stealing, Krishna entered into the gopi's house. We have discussed this in the Bhagavadam when we discussed 10th canto of these pastimes, but I will just briefly go through that pastime. One day it so happened, all the gopis went to Krishna with the to Yashoda Devi with the complaint about that Krishna was coming and stealing home things at home. Especially all the butter they have stored up, all the milk they have stored, everything was stolen and empty and broken the pots as well. So, probably you remember, they came and reported to Yashoda Devi. That time Krishna was at home. Krishna was at home. When they reported this, gopis came and gopis were coming. Krishna was sitting in Yashoda Devi's lap and drinking milk at that time. So from distance he saw the gopis coming. So Krishna knew what for they were coming. That because he has same time while he was here in Yashoda Devi's lap, the breaking pots was going on other gopis' houses. So they were all coming together with the major complaint as a delegation. They were coming to Yashoda Devi. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi were very much liked by all the gopis, isn't it? So they considered him as their chief, and because he was so affectionate to all of them. So when they came, Yashoda Devi asked them, how come all of you together today here? That was, Yashoda Devi was a bit surprised because normally they don't come all together like that. They come one after the other, play with Krishna and go back sometimes. So today, one particular day, they were all together coming. So they came in, and when they came in, the gopis, when Yashoda Devi asked this question, why all of you together? The gopis said that we wanted to talk about something. So Krishna is looking at them and saying, I know what you're going to talk about. In the lap, lying in Yashoda Devi's lap, he is looking at them and saying. So Yashoda Devi didn't know what he is going to talk about. So Yashoda Devi said to gopis, that what is that you want to talk about? Now, then the gopis said, don't talk about this to Nanda Maharaj, because if he talk to them, they didn't want Nanda Maharaj to know about it. They wanted to sort out the problem in their level. Going to the top management, they didn't want to go to the top management level. So with Yashoda Devi, they wanted to solve the problem. So Yashoda Devi said to them, if it is something Nanda Maharaj should not know, what is that? Then I don't want to hear about that. Yashoda Devi took that attitude. So in that case, we are not going to tell you. Gopi said like that. We won't tell you that. Then Yashoda Devi became curious to find out what is that. You know the nature of, if you say somebody, I don't want to tell you something very important. Then you want to know it, what it is. So Yashoda Devi is asking, all right, I won't tell them, what is it? So, is it about him? Pointing at Krishna. Is it about him? Because he felt that there is something going on. So the gopi said, yes, it is about him. Krishna got up from the lap, went behind and stood right behind Yashoda Devi. He's only 3 years old boy. He is standing there and holding on Yashoda, both the hands along Yashoda Devi's shoulders, and you know how the boys swing back and forth, that just waiting what they are going to, what is the complaint going to be now. So gopis started presenting that he has done this in my house. Each one of them had so many complaints about Krishna's breaking pots and stealing the butter, everything, right? So Krishna is looking at all the gopis who are present there, and the gopis were finding it very difficult to complain against him. By now, there is a certain attachment inside. They want to complain, but they don't want to complain. They don't want to put it in a language that will hurt him. So when the gopis complained, Yashoda Devi was on the defensive. Yashoda says to them that my son will never do such a thing. You are telling us all kinds of lies and coming to me with these complaints. Krishna is saying from the behind, what a good mother I have. Such a nice mother who is speaking on my behalf. My lawyer speaking on my behalf, he says. Gopis are telling Yashoda Devi, don't trust him. So Yashoda Devi said, when did they come to you? He was always with me. He never left the house. Gopis are saying, I'm just now coming back from home. Come and look at my house. Come and have a look at it, what's happening there. I have locked up everything. So Yashoda Devi said, could you not have locked up everything in your storeroom so that you won't do such a thing? Yashoda Devi says to Yashoda Devi that we have locked up everything, and in spite of all that, everything has broken. And all the, not only that, he has taken the butter and milk, everything, but he has even smashed all the pots as well. So those pots, we were very attached to it. You know, people who are doing business like that, they'll have a lot of attachment to their own utensils, isn't it? You know that, huh? That in the villages, when people are doing such business, they will be thinking that, oh, if I have this pot, my business will be good for the day. Have you noticed some people keep certain wallets? It will be very, very old. They won't throw it away. Why? Because they think if they keep that wallet, the money won't be spent. Some kind of sentimental attachment, you can say, with the wallet. Yeah. So they'll be very rich people. But if you look at their wallet, you'll think, why can't they change this wallet? They won't change it. All their credit cards and cash, everything in that wallet, safely kept. And if you ask them why you don't, they'll say, oh, the wallet, it's good because I'm not spending much money. This wallet has got that niche. They put it on the wallet. Similarly, our gopis also had attachment to their pots very much. Although they are earthen pots, mostly earthen pots, they are storing all these things. So in the Bhagavatam, when it comes to that, Sudeva Goswami said to Parikshit like this, Valsan munjan kojita samaye krosa samjada hasam steyam swadyati ata dadibadai kalpidai steya yogaihi markan bokshan vibajada sanil nati bhandam bhinati krihyalave sugra kubido ya upakroshyatokan. It is one of the famous verses in that 8th chapter. If you read through that verse, you will see. Sometimes gopis are saying to Yashoda, they will come valsan munjan kochid asamaye. Sometimes asamayam. Asamayam means time when you don't visit anybody. Like early hours in the morning. Say I come to visit you at 6 o'clock in the morning. You wouldn't like it, would you? You will say, couldn't find any better time to come and see me. There is a time for everything, isn't it? So that is called asamayam. 6 o'clock in the morning, you go to visit someone. Or 4 o'clock in the morning, I come to visit you, sir. Would you receive me? You will not even open the door, would you? So, same thing, that Krishna was visiting these personalities in all these kind of timings. That, not when you don't visit people, that time, asamayam. Valsan munjan, early hours in the morning, gopis are very busy. Why are they busy? They are busy because they have to milk the cows. They have to make sure that the calf drinks the milk. Calf drinks the milk. And after that, they'll milk the cow. Now, why I'm saying this is, later on you will see this in the Ekadasham. Krishna says, for developing satsangam, milk is an important thing. Food connected with milk and fruits is food for the Sattugunam. Isn't it? For Sattugunam. So, there, they will say, Valsan Munjan, that they would have fed the calf enough milk. Gopis would have fed the calf with enough milk. After that, they will remove the calf and tie it back. And then they milk the cow. Yeah? At that point, cow will give profusely the milk. Cow will profusely give the milk. According to Shastram, you should only drink the milk after the calf is fed. Suppose you milk the cow before the calf is fed, that milk is not considered in the mode of goodness. So, supermarket milk. For Sattagunam to develop, Krishna is saying, for Sattagunam to develop, remember this, milk may give you all the vitamins and everything. But Sattagunam to develop, the cow should be happy to give you the milk. Only then you should take the milk from the cow. Only that milk if you drink, you will develop Sattagunam. You see the point? That if you take the milk from the cow, which if you have done it through forceful ways or not showing any compassion to the cow, purely calculating the price and other factors, and you may get the milk from the cow, but that milk won't create Sattagunam in a person. So subtly Sattagunam. So milk that is got from a cow, after the calf was drunk, and then if you milk the cow, that milk alone should be drunk. Should be drunk, and that will create Sattagunam. Why? That all the goodness of the cow is coming through that milk. Because cow's consciousness while releasing the milk is important. That is why we say when you kill animals, it is not the killing that is matter. All that subtle body of that animal is coming through that flesh. And the body is charged with that. That's why when you eat that flesh or eat that body, immediately those qualities will develop in us. Because that's gone inside. Ahara Shuddhau Sattva Shuddhi. It is mentioned. Ramanujacharya mentions this. Ahara Shuddhau Sattva Shuddhi. Ramanujacharya says Ahara Shuddhi is important for Sattugunam to develop. So Sattugunam is totally dependent on the food as well as Ramanuja is concerned. As far as Shankaracharya is concerned, not only the food, all the five senses, he says. Panja Indriyam, all five Indriyas, whatever food you are taking inside will decide your Sattugunam. That means the Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam, Gandham. All five things, if they are pure, then you will develop Sattugunam. According to Shankaracharya, according to Ramanuja, the food is important. Ahara Shuddhau Sattva Shuddhi, he says. And in the Chandogya Upanishad also it's exactly the same thing. Who says this? Sanat Kumara Maharshi says to Srinarada Maharshi about the importance of food. So food is an extremely important factor in spiritual life, and therefore they have given all these restrictions about the food for developing Sattagunam. Anyway, that's not beyond the point. We are coming back to this verse. Valsan Munjan Kojada Samaye. So when the calf is left to left brought back and tied back, what Krishna does is goes and untie these calves so that they can go and drink more milk. So if the calves keep on drinking, the cows keep on giving, there will be no left milk for the gopis to collect and to sell. So their business is gone, isn't it? So he does this. Krishna goes and does this thing. Valsan Munjan Kojida Samaye. Then what else he does? Krosha Sanja Adahasam. So Yashoda asked the gopis, if it is like that, could he not give them a smack to Krishna at that time and get it off him from there? Yashoda, we have tried all that, but nothing is working. When we smacked him, he will say, ho, 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 he will laugh like this and Krosha Sanjada Hasa. He will make fun of us and looks at us in a very, very disgusted way and insult us and walks out from the house. Krosha Sanjada Hasa. That's what it means. Krosha Sanjada Hasa. That he treats us as though we are fools and idiots and he walks out from the house. In a very cunning and clever way, he walks away from the house. Steyam Swadvati. And we thought that, okay, he's only a little boy, we will give him something. So that if you give some nice sweets and milk and butter, he will be satisfied. He should be satisfied as a child, so that he will eat it and then he won't give us this trouble. We tried that way also. Because Yashoda asked in between to gopis, Krishna says to them, to the gopis, that, okay, if he is doing this, You all have got cows at home, milk is at home, plenty of butter. He's only a little boy asking, why don't you give it to him something? And at the end of the month, you come back to me and tell me how much you have given him. And I'll pay for it, whatever that is. His father is not a poor person, talking about Nanda Maharaj. He's got enough wealth to pay for it. So why don't you do that? They said. Gopi says to Yashoda, we have tried all that. It didn't work. He doesn't like to take doing anything in a straightforward way. If you give him, he says, oh, no, we don't want. Like a very gentleman. Refuses. Oh, I can't have that milk. I don't want any butter. No, there's enough at home. My mother has told me not to eat from anybody else's house. Like this, poses as though he is a very decent and gentle person. Then as soon as he finds opportunity, first thing he goes inside and steals everything. So what to do with him? This is what the gopis complained to Krishna. Steyam swadvati. He says, whatever has been stolen and eaten, it has got better taste. That's what Krishna is saying. Steyam swadvati. What is this thing? This is what is Sugabhadev Goswami calls this as Steya Yogam. You heard about the yogam like this? Steya Yogam. Steya Yogam means through this stealing business how to become self-realized. It's called Steya Yogam. Yogam is actually linking process, isn't it? So Steya Yogam is that process, is a new yoga system only you will see in the 10th canto in the 8th chapter, this Steya Yogam discussed, nowhere else. There, through stealing, what they did was, through that stealing pastime, gopis got attracted to Krishna. This is what Krishna wanted to do, not that he was badly looking for butter or milk. Somehow or the other, he wanted to get their mind attracted to Krishna. This is the satsangam between Krishna and the gopis. What Bhagavatam is talking about. Valsan munjan kochida samaye krosha sanjada hasa steyam swadvati atadadibade kalpidei steya yogaihi. Then what else he did? In order to deliberately provocate or to put gopis in distress, markan bhokshan vibhajadisa. Give everything to all the monkeys, birds, cows, to the cats. Everybody was fed very well with whatever that was stolen from inside. Markan bhokshan vibhajadi bhati nati bhandam bhinati. After doing all that, break the pots, each pot. And all the pots were broken. Dravya labe sagraha kupite ya upakroshyatokan. That after doing all these things, when he is leaving the house, he is telling us, I'll see you later, I'm going now. And if the baby, my child, our gopis children were keeping, they goes there and pinches them on the face or the bum and then walks out from there and wakes them up, because gopis want the babies to sleep so they can do their housework. If you wake them up, what will happen? Gopis can't do anything, isn't it? Dravya labe sagraha kupite ya upakroshyatogan. That's what upakroshyatogan means. So, these pastimes are mentioned in the 8th chapter in the Bhagavadam. Because of all these things, what has happened? Their mind got attracted to Krishna. In one subtle level, they were enjoying all these things. On a externally, they were complaining to Yashoda Devi, and Yashoda Devi was unable to answer these pastimes, because Yashoda was not knowing all these things were happening in other gopis' houses. Then Krishna was always with him, and Yashoda is looking at Krishna and checking out whether. So again, Krishna is acting as though I'm an innocent child, I've not done anything, these people are telling lies about me. Like normally the children do, isn't it? Mother gets confused, who is telling the truth? Two boys comes and makes the same complaint, and one telling the other, is telling the lie. So same situation. So Krishna's position was, they are telling lies, I have not done anything. So Yashoda Devi is in a very disturbed state because of all these complaints about him. But Sukadeva Goswami says an important point there. Sukadeva Goswami's point is that Tavadhadikritamoshe Goshayosho Jananam Abhajadakriti Rosham Navakasham Nashogam Kridayamashim Abhimushitva Harsha Sindhau Nyathastvam Samamashamayarogan. That that kriyam abhimushitva harsha sindhau nyathastvam. What they wanted to do, Krishna wanted to do, was to steal their hearts. To steal their hearts. It is only for that reason all these pastimes happened. That this is why it is called Steya Yogam. Let's understand this better. That suppose if we keep something very valuable, say jewelry or some jewels at home, and naturally the thieves will come and steal. Okay, you are insured, I know. You all got contents insured, home insured. So you can go and make the claim from the insurance company. But that is another thing. But if you have a lot of valuables at home, you are inviting trouble, isn't it? It's a target for the thieves. So when you have a lot of wealth, expensive things, you try to keep it very carefully, and it gets stolen at that time. In the same way it gets stolen at that time. So what Krishna does is, Krishna comes and steals your heart. Steals your heart, like he did to the gopis. When does Krishna steal one's heart? That's the important question, isn't it? When does Krishna steal one's heart? Krishna steals one's heart at a time when there is sufficient attachment for Krishna inside. When the bhakti has developed inside on a very higher level. Then to such an extent there is attachment for Krishna. At that point, that is the wealth what Krishna is looking at us. When there is that wealth inside, Krishna will steal that heart at that point. Otherwise, and that is what is known as Steya Yogam. It is a yoga process, what is known as Steya Yogam. So this pastime of stealing butter is only to bring out this one particular point. That when the attachment gets very strong, the heart will be stolen. Krishna will steal the heart of that devotee. Krishna will steal the heart of devotee. That's why he said, Hridayam abhimushitva harsha sindhau nyathastvam. That you stole their heart, Krishna has stolen their heart, but they didn't feel any, they were not upset about this. You see? That is the beauty. Harsha sindhau nyathastvam. That they were still enjoying it when Krishna was, because although pots were broken, milk was gone, butter was gone, this attachment to Krishna has increased considerably, and Krishna has stolen their heart. And in that relationship, they were enjoying much more than although by losing butter and milk did not bother them. That's why it says, Hridayam abhimushitva harsha sindhau nyathastvam. That Hridayam abhimushitva, he stole the heart first. Therefore, harsha sindhau nyathastvam. That they were not at all affected by any of the emotions that will come from. So they were always in that ecstasy of being, when the heart was stolen by Krishna. So gopis, this is how gopis' relationship with Krishna started. This is how gopis satsangam started with Krishna in this way. They needed this. All these pastimes were required to bring to this level. This is the reason why I was saying that the wives of the brahmanas didn't need this. To understand that the gopis needed this. All these pastimes were required so that gopis can come up. And Krishna stole their heart. How to develop that bhakti inside. The wives of the brahmanas, because they had studied shastram, had association with brahmanas, and they had always in the spiritual life, throughout their life, they led the spiritual life. They didn't require all these things. They knew who Krishna is, and they were able to connect with Krishna very quickly. So therefore, Krishna gave this opportunity for them to bring prasadam, aid the prasadam, send them back home. They all went back to the spiritual world very quickly. Not only that, when they went back, the brahmanas who were frightened of associating to see Krishna, even they, due to association with the wives, they also became devotees. Proper devotees later. That is in the Bhagavatam. If we look at that verses when you get to that. But what I'm making is, both are women. Wives of the brahmanas are women. Gopis are also women. But gopis Krishna had to deal with one way. The wives of the brahmanas Krishna had to deal in another way. Deal with them in another way. So, Yajnavatni, Krishna says here, Yajnavatni tathabare, he says in that verse, if you look at Krishna's words there, that Vyadha Kubja Vraje Gopyo Yajnavatni tathabare, that Kubja, you know the story of Kubja in the Bhagavadam, the how she came to Krishna, not a very nice way, in a different way. So, Kubja's story, Gopi's stories are different. Yajnavatni's story is different again, a different relationship. So, the point what I'm making is that Kadeyam Abhimushitva Harsha Sindho Nyadastvam. Normally, we are chanting the holy name. People ask this question, do I have to meditate on the form of Krishna while chanting the holy name? Or do I have to remember the pastimes of Krishna while chanting the holy name? All these questions will come. Everybody asks these questions, isn't it? But instead of we trying hard to remember Krishna and trying to meditate on Krishna's form, Krishna's pastimes, if Krishna comes and takes us with him, which is better? Remember that. Instead of we trying using our effort to remember about Krishna and to meditate on the form of Krishna and trying forcefully to do it, because we have to do it forcefully, isn't it? Otherwise, this mind will take you away the next minute to football stadium or in the pub or somewhere. It will go very quickly. It doesn't take very long. So, Kradayam Abhimushitva Harsha Sindhu Nyadhastvam. Gopis were also fortunate that their mind was taken away by Krishna. From Krishna's side, the initiative came, rather than from the gopis. Gopis didn't know anything about it, that they were in the process of self-realization. That is the beauty of that. Gopis did not even know that they were going to get self-realized because of all this and a connection with Krishna. But Krishna has very clear that what he was going to do with them, steal their heart and through that develop that bhakti in their heart and bring them to the platform of transcendental knowledge, realization. Later on, Krishna gives them the transcendental knowledge in the Samanta Panchakam when they went for that solar eclipse. You know that. There Krishna talks to gopis only about the truth, self-realization. That's what Krishna talks to them about. No bhakti, nothing. About self-realization he speaks at that point. So, important thing is that in the gopis case, Krishna took the initiative from Krishna's side and did that. Isn't it? Krishna took the initiative. So, normally we'll say, instead of I am saying Krishna is mine, it's my Krishna who has helped me. Rather, if you say that I am Krishna's, instead of saying Krishna is mine, when we are doing sadhana, when we are trying to execute spiritual life, I am trying to get Krishna on my side. But instead, if I reach a state where I could say I am Krishna's, which is better? There are two positions here. One, I am saying Krishna is mine, Krishna will help me. Normally we say like that, isn't it? We say that, oh, Krishna listens to me. When I pray to him, he gives me what I want, or he helps me in this way and does things what I want to do. So that is one approach towards Krishna. The other approach is that I don't know anything. I am Krishna's. Krishna is doing what he wants with me. What he wants to do with me, he is doing with me. So, out of these two relationships, the superior relationship is if we become Krishna's, not Krishna becomes mine. I become Krishna's, I am a dog, Krishna's dog. If you become like that, then Krishna does everything for you. You don't have to worry about it. You don't need all this sadhana. And in satsangam, that is the goal. That you become Krishna's. In other words, false ego completely goes. Totally goes away from inside. And we become completely surrendered to Krishna. So this is an important thing to remember, that gopis reached that state. Gopis had false ego. Not that they were all free from false ego. And they had a lot of situations where they had goes through a lot of distress also. But when they started experiencing that they are Krishna's people, I am Krishna's, that anxiety has gone away from them, and eventually it all ended up in self-realization. that gopis, when they leave the body, if you look at the prayers, what gopis have spoken to Krishna, at the end of 10th chapter, you will see how the gopis spoke to Krishna about their relationship with Krishna. So, this is one important thing, that when it comes to Harsha Sindhau Nyadhaswam Samamashamayarogan, that Khridirosham Navagasham Nashokaha, that when these things happened at home, they did not make any issue out of it. Navagasham Nashokaha, that they were not feeling any distress, they were actually in a subtle level they are enjoying. Because they were frightened that if we complain too much, will Krishna won't come to our house again. So that was worrying them. Because in the subtle level, they had more attachment to Krishna than to their own babies, their own children. So this was happening there. So that is what that story is all about. That pastime in the Bhagavatam, if you remember, in the background of all these things, then you can understand that this Steya Yogam discussed in that 8th chapter is all about we becoming Krishna's dogs rather than we thinking in terms of Krishna is ours. We are not, Krishna is not our servant, we are Krishna's dogs. Becoming, that surrendering the false ego at the point in front of Krishna and accepting that I am Krishna's dog, that is what is bhakti. That is that Steya Yogam is talking about. And if we, in majority of the cases in Satsangam, this is what happens, that they surrender the false ego at the end. So, as I mentioned in that case of that devotee who had this difficulty with his alcohol problem, eventually when he surrendered, he said later on that I have surrendered everything to him. I don't know anything now. All I know is he is running my life. And to that extent I have surrendered. Later on he became very famous, and once it was spoken about him that he went to Ganga River to bathe. So when he jumped into the river he came out and he said that I don't need to bathe Ganga River. He was feeling so much confidence that I am free from all my sinful activities. I don't think I have any sinful reactions inside. I am completely freed from all my vasanas. All my sinful reactions have gone away from here. So somebody asked him that, why are you not bathing in the river? He says, why should I bathe in the river? The river is polluted by so many people. When they, I have come out of that because I was only giving purity to Ganga River by my bathing there. Yes. To such an extent, he was confident of what he was. He had that confidence in his teacher. That has come from his faith in the spiritual master. He was not talking from false pride. He felt that he is pure enough because his spiritual master has given him complete shelter. How? He has completely surrendered his ego there to the in front of the spiritual master. That's why I'm saying this relationship is not a mundane relationship, spiritual master-disciple relationship. It cannot be established through email and telephone calls. It has to have that personal connection and relationship in that way. That's the only way it will work. Otherwise it will become official relationship. Narodhayadimam yogo na sangyam na uddhavam na swadhyayam tapastyago ishtapurtam na dakshinaham. That there it's where it is mentioned like this, that when one is completely matured, pakvam, fully ripened for spiritual life. Uddhava is a ripened fruit. That's why Krishna is giving this highest realizations to him. Fully, what he has not even given to Arjuna, he is giving to Uddhava. So, why Uddhava is fully ready to receive that? So, from our part, we have to reach that state of maturity in us to receive that. Before we go and see any great personality or a jnani or a great devotee or a self-realized soul, we on our part have to be ready for that, to receive that. When you are fully ready, then meeting such a person would help. Where you can say, but when we are not ready, that will not happen. That's the point. So here, if you look at it this way, that Krishna points out this point, that if he has surrendered false ego, then if you look in Bhagavad Gita, their verse becomes valid. Otherwise that verse is not valid. See, people misunderstand a lot of things like this. Abhijet Sudharacharya Bhajadeyam Ananya Bhag. సాధురేవ సమందవ్య సమ్యగ్ వ్యవసితో హిస క్షిప్రం భవది ధర్మాత్మ శాశ్వత శాంతి నిగచ్చది కౌందయ్య ప్రతిజానీహి నమే భక్త ప్రణశ్యది. దిస్ టూ వర్సెస్ ఇన్ ది ఐ థింక్ ఇట్స్ ద సెవెన్ చాప్టర్. కృష్ణ సేస్ వై దోస్ వర్సెస్. కృష్ణ సేయింగ్ దే లెట్ ద పర్సన్ బి టోటలీ ఫాలన్, ఈస్ గాట్ ఆల్ బ్యాడ్ హ్యాబిట్స్, ఈస్ గాట్ ఆల్ కైండ్స్ ఆఫ్ అనర్థస్ ఇన్ హిమ్, బట్ భజదేవం అనన్యభాక్. దట్ అనన్యభాక్ వర్డ్ ఈస్ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్. అనన్యభాక్ మీన్స్ ఐ హ్యావ్ నో అదర్ షెల్టర్ ఎక్సెప్ట్ కృష్ణ, దట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ సరెండర్. నథింగ్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ మ్యాథర్స్ టు హిమ్. టు సచ్ ఎ డిగ్రీ హీ హాస్ సరెండర్డ్. ఇఫ్ హీ హాస్ సరెండర్డ్ లైక్ దట్ కృష్ణ సేస్ హీ ఈస్ అ సాధు బికాస్ హీ హాస్ సరెండర్డ్ టు మీ. నౌ హౌ దిస్ క్యాన్ బి మిస్యూస్డ్, ఐ విల్ టెల్ యూ హౌ ఇట్ ఈస్ మిస్యూస్డ్. సమ్టైమ్స్ when we make a lot of mistakes in our life, spiritual life, when we make a lot of mistakes in spiritual life, we will use this excuse. We'll say to others that okay, I got so many bad habits, but I am a sadhu, I am surrendered to Krishna. No surrender has to be 100%. And remember this also, surrender can happen only once in life if it is proper surrender. Then there is no more coming back from that, back to the false ego again, and then going back to surrender a second time. It doesn't happen. That means the first surrender was not proper surrender. Do you understand the surrender principle? Surrender principle is a very important principle. Perfect surrender is that once only you can do that. Sharanagati is only once in life. And once it's done, then that's it. Then there is no more operating on a false ego. So long as that's not happened, all of us are with the false ego. So it is only with that background Krishna is saying that verse, Abhijet Sudaracharo Bhajademam Ananyabhag. Then Ananyabhag, we keep away that word. That's not so important, we say. Sadhu Eva Sama, we are all sadhus because of that, because we have all surrendered to Krishna. We can say we are all sadhus. But Krishna says that doesn't mean that I give you any guarantee about your spiritual life, because samyak vyavasito hisa, that you have to surrender in that way that you have no other interest in this world after that surrender. Who is prepared to do that? Who is there who is doing that? Kshipram bhavati dharmaatma. Such a person, dharmaatma, Krishna says very quickly, shashwal chandim nigachadi, he will reach that state of shashwal chandi, extreme peaceful state. He will attain that peace. Kaundeya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. Krishna says, Arjuna, remember this, pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati, that my devotee will never fall. When he is saying this, he is talking about that devotee who has surrendered like that, not about us. We will fall down because we have not surrendered. Where is the question of not falling down? Then no point in blaming, saying Bhagavad Gita is wrong. Bhagavad Gita is not wrong. Some time ago, one person wanted to correct those verses. He says that these verses doesn't make any sense. I am a Krishna's devotee, but I am falling down all the time. How does that work? So the verses are wrong, he says. Why? He took those two words, Ananyabhak, from the verse away. The Ananyabhak is the very nerve, or very the very how do we call it? The very essence of that verse is that Ananyabhak. That surrender which is done in that understanding, that devotee will not fall. This is what it means. When even if he has got other habits, habits can be there with many people in different habits. There were great devotees who had terrible habits when we look at it from the regulative principles platform. But they were great devotees in so much ecstatic love with Krishna. And they lived a life like that in this world, and eventually Krishna has looked after them. Why? Based on this principle, Kaunteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashyari. Such a devotee won't fall. Because when he falls, Krishna will hold the hand. Krishna will hold your hand. Just like we give example that if a father and a little child, 2-3 years old, they are going to the supermarket or to the high street for shopping. So the child says to the father, that I'll hold on to your feet, don't worry, I won't go. I will catch hold of you all the time. If he's intelligent father, what will he say? No, I can't trust you, I'll hold your hand. Because then you know that you are always holding him in the rush, crowd and everything, you can still hold him. So if Krishna holds us like that in spiritual life, we are safe. If we hold on to Krishna's hand or Krishna's lotus feet, chances are we will fall. Because we are holding, Krishna is not holding. So that's why it's more important that Krishna should hold us. That's the only way we all have hopes. Otherwise there's no much hope. That Krishna has to hold us. And that is what that verses are talking about. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's point is this. When we talk about bhakti, we think that bhakti is a simple thing. Bhakti is not a simple thing. When it comes to bhakti, you know the problem that unless there is surrender, there is no thing called bhakti. It's all just show goes on. You can have anything you can talk about bhakti without surrender. That's why when you go to self-realized personalities, they will only talk about two things. Either they will ask you to follow the process of Jnana Margam. If they find that you have that Prajna Shuddhi inside, purity inside, and sharpness of your Prajna, sharpness of that capacity to absorb things in that way, they'll say, follow this process through Vicharam, reflection, you can develop that strength and come to the point of realization self. If that's not possible, they'll tell you Sharanagati as the next alternative. They won't discuss anything in between. They won't tell you anything. Because there is no other way except these two. Egalisha Skandam is all centered around these two things. So, Kaundeya Pradijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashyatim. That all these personalities are like that. They had such habits. Even then, we are now talking about personalities like Sugriva, Vibhishana, and Mahabali. You know Mahabali's history. Mahabali is the finest example of surrender. You have noticed that, isn't it? That how Mahabali surrendered to Krishna. And Mahabali, if you look into Mahabali's life, you will know that Mahabali at no point accepted the authority of Indra. Indra was so frightened of Mahabali, and that famous war happened between the demigods and the demons. Who are Mahabali's associates? Kalanemi, Viprachitti. There is a list of demons. They are all Mahabali's friends. And it is these demons who came in the Krishnavadaram, in Krishna's appearance, as those demons there. They were all killed in the battle of the demigods and the demons. And they were all associates of Mahabali in the war against the demigods. All of them. And it is those personalities, Putana, Bhaga, Arishtasura, they are all personalities from that time who have got killed in that war, but they came back again in these bodies with Kamsa. Kamsa also coming from that category. Kalanemi was his previous name, was a friend of Mahabali. Remember that. So with all these demons association, that Mahabali, Krishna is saying, is the finest example of surrender in the Bhagavadam. One of the finest examples. When you look at the nine processes of devotional service, which are the Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnor Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. Out of these nine processes, the first eight you can do. If you try hard, you can live a life. Ninth you can't even do. That has to come from the Krishna side. Only then it will happen, the Atmani Vedanam. And Mahabali got that done. Mahabali is the example for the ninth one. So imagine, in bhakti process, a most powerful demon is given as the example, Mahabali. That is the beauty of bhakti. The important point to remember here is that even those personalities, they came out through satsangam. That is Krishna's point. What was satsangam for Mahabali? You know that, what Salsangam Mahabali had? Mahabali Salsangam was Mahabali's grandfather. Who? Prahlada. When, look at that great devotee. There is no other devotee in the Bhagavatam like Prahlada. That is surrender. Prahlada's dasyam, that servitude nature of faith in Krishna and Krishna's protective power, that under no circumstances Prahlada was disturbed, wasn't it? What Hiranyakashipu did to him and how Prahlada reacted with that. So there, before Mahabali went to fight the war, Mahabali took permission from Shukracharya to go to fight the war. Before going, Mahabali paid his obeisances to Shukracharya. Shukracharya took a garland and put it on Mahabali's neck and told him that everything will come out all right. Your face will become dim only when these flowers started withering away. That is the words, Amlana pushpam jala janja shukraha. Shukra Maharshi says to them, Shukracharya says to Amlana pushpam, that when the flowers started fading, only then your face will also start fading. This is what Shukracharya told Mahabali. But look at Mahabali's good fortune. When Shukracharya was saying all these things to Mahabali, Mahabali did not leave the place straight away. He went to his granddad and fell down, prostrated before him and asked for his blessings. At that time, Prahlada took his hand and put it on Mahabali's head and told him, Vijayi Bhava, come out successfully. Because Prahlada knew that he was going to attack the demigods and take control of all the heavenly planets, including heavenly planets, was going to go under his control. So when he heard that, Prahlada says to him, Vijayi Bhava. Now what does that mean? If Prahlada puts hands on someone and says Vijayi Bhava, means it is directly Lord Narasimha's blessings coming, because it is through this hand that Narasimhamurti, he could pull Narasimhamurti out of a wall. That is how powerful Prahlada was, wasn't it? When Hiranyakashipu said, where is your God, where is your Krishna? I see him everywhere, Prahlada says. And our Hiranyakashipu says, I don't see him anywhere. And when he pulled out the sword, he says, is he in the pillar? He says, I am seeing him. And Prahlada was seeing him, Hiranyakashipu could not see him. So Prahlada's hands means it's Narasimhamurti's hands straight away on. So as the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see there that when he left the palace, that the the mercy, what Prahlada's, those two words, Vijayi Bhava, that was sufficient for Mahabali. And Mahabali goes to fight the war. When he went there, demigods have already left everything. They have escaped. They knew Prahlada is coming. Mahabali is coming. By now, Shukracharya has given him enough strength. And they ran away from the heavenly planets, leaving everything to Mahabali. Mahabali went there, took control of all the heavenly planets. In the Bhagavatam, if you read, you will see one interesting thing there. Mahabali, spotless character. He may be a demon, but his character was spotless. In the sense that when he took control of the heavenly planets, the heavenly happiness there of sense enjoyment did not distract Mahabali from his mission. He took control and he let them live, the Apsaras women and all the music that was going on. He left everything there itself and he peacefully left them and came back. Took control over them and came back from there. When he came back, Shukracharya asked him, how did the things go? He said everything went very well. There was no need to fight even. There was no war, didn't happen the first time. The war didn't happen. It is after that, you know the story that Vamanamurti appeared and wanted to get the whole heavenly planets back to the demigods, and Krishna appeared in the form and all that. That's the later story. But in that story, all associates of Mahabali were those demons whom we are finding in the 10th canto, Krishna is killing one after the other. Putana, Keshi, Denuga, Pralamba, they are all those personalities who were with Mahabali in the churning of the milk ocean. So it may appear when you read Bhagavadam that the recruitment for Krishnavadaram was going on at that time. The recruitment for those who should come in the 10th canto pastimes, they were recruited at that time when the war happened between the demigods and the demons. And Krishna picked certain people. These are the people qualified who can come with me in that pastime. So that's how they have come like that. So here, what I'm saying is that the even different people requires different medicine in bhakti. Everybody cannot have one process. It's not possible. We are all different ourselves. Each one of us have different vasanas. We come to this world. And when we have different vasanas, our nature will be different. Although you can draw certain common rules for everybody, in spiritual life, once you make that progress, you have to find your own path in that process. It's not possible otherwise. Nobody can take you to the last point holding your hand. You got to go on your own at that point. And that is why all these examples, if you study in the Bhagavadam, you will see there, they're all very, very different. Each one is different from the other. So he says here that that the surrender is such a process. Narodha yadimam yogo na sankhyam na uddhava and na swadhyayam tavasthyago ishtapurtam na dakshina. And there are many, many examples in this. Why is that? Each one of us, our karmam, which will take us in different ways in this world, nobody can predict these things, how it will happen to each one of us. It is called karma gadi. And karma gadi is vichitram, they call it. It is not something what you can predict how it will develop later on. Our life will go in different directions, in different ways. Each one of us have to go through. And mistake we make is this. We see a great soul and then we start thinking, oh, I'll do like that, what he did. So, okay, Prabhupada was in Vrindavan for 15, 16 years. Let me go and stay in 15 years in Vrindavan. After that, I leave Vrindavan and then I'll start preaching. It will not work like that. That's not how it works. It doesn't work like that. The reason is this, that our life is controlled by our vasanas inside, our prarabdham inside. So each one of us have come to this world with our own vasanas and our own prarabdham here. We are bound to experience that here. If you try to shift this and alter it in any way, it will only cause problems to yourself and to others. Yourself and to others. I'll tell you why. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says one important point there. Shrayan sudharmo sugunal paradharmal sunushtidal, he says. Isn't it? He says, executing your own dharmam is better than paradharmam. What does that mean? Basically what it's saying is that sudharmam is based on your vasanas. Isn't it? Sudharmam is based on your vasana. That means I have certain propensities in me. I have to fulfill those propensities in my life, through my work, through my life in this world. That vasana should wipe out in that way. It has to happen. That's why we have been given different kinds of bodies, different kinds of karma, what has followed us from previous lifetimes. And we are bound to act in that way. No matter whatever tells us, that strong influence from come inside will control us. I gave you the example before, Arjuna's case. Arjuna was a warrior, Kshatriya. No point in keeping Arjuna as a pujari at Bhaktivedanta manner. He won't be able to work here. Because if he's doing arati, he'll be thinking, with this hand, I would have sorted him out. That is Kshatriya. He's not going to change. Can you? Can you change Arjuna? No. He's a Kshatriya. His nature is that. That's why Krishna told him, Arjuna, don't shift your position. You are what you are. That is your subtle body, what you are inside. So similarly, if we also take positions what we are not in this world, what will happen is, not only that these vasanas won't go away from inside, we will go and act in, on behalf of somebody, something else, and we'll create some false vasanas in us. A new vasanas we will develop. Krishna says that is what you should avoid. At least finish up those vasanas what is in this body, in this life, in whatever sodharmam what has been given to us to perform in this world. At least don't create new vasanas. Unfortunately, in the modern spiritual world, its whole thing is in a mess. A lot of people, they all want posing themselves as self-realized, posing themselves as authorities in spiritual life, but without any self-realization, and then they come and they present themselves in different ways, and the whole thing is a complete confusion, people. People are completely confused about this. What is going on? here. When Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is telling a certain law that Krishna has laid out, this is what our limit, we should know, we should stay within the limit. And there is nothing wrong in doing that, because what is expected of us at this point is that in this body, while living within this body, this is all coming in the 13th chapter, a lot more powerfully, Krishna explains there, that if you follow dharmam and live in that dharmam what you have given to you, if you follow that without following other dharmam, and in that dharmam if you execute spiritual life, you will become successful. Eventually you will get out of this material world. On the other hand, if your propensities and vasanas inside is one kind, one type of vasanas inside. Externally, you are posing yourself with other kinds of vasanas in this world, in front of others. And then you are also not only wasting your lifetime, you are misleading many people also in that way. So there are many subtle factors in all these things. And Ekadasi Skandam, when we go through this, you will notice that many things what Krishna is speaking to us so directly that we may have to rethink whether our activities in this world is keeping in all these things in perspective. It's just not that somebody tells us, oh, do all of you do this. Immediately you start running, doing that. That is not how spiritual life works. Spiritual life works with proper understanding of what we are first. What are we? We are a mixture of this body, mind, intelligence, and particularly that subtle body inside, which is controlling us all the time like a remote control. And that vasanas, what is inside this, will push us to act in one. That is what is called swabhavam, isn't it? We have two things in us. One is our swarupam, which is our identity, and then other thing is the swabhavam, our nature. Swarupam is what we are. We have to stick to that. Swabhavam is our nature. We have to engage that in the service. You can't hold on to your swabhavam. Swabhavam will change. One day to another, it will keep changing according to the modes of nature we are associating with. So swarupam and swabhavam. Swarupam is what we should be. We should always be holding on to our swarupam, or the spiritual identity, a spirit soul, and conduct the swabhavam in this world. Swabhavam is for the world, swarupam is for spiritual life. This is how you separate between yourself and the body. That all these things has to go in very deep level and reflect on this and bring that into our own life. Otherwise it's not going to happen. Swarupam and swabhavam are two different things. Swabhavam is our nature due to association with the modes. That is for transactions in this world. Swarupam is our spiritual life. We should stick to the swarupam and conduct the business of this world with our swabhavam. And then what will happen? Eventually that swabhavam will go away after we have done our... Because vasana kshayam is the goal. All the vasanas has to get wiped out from inside before this body gets destroyed. So vasanas won't go if you don't give an opportunity for the... Suppose I have a lot of... I'll give you an example. One person... He had a desire for building a very big five-star hotel he wanted to build. So one person asked one sannyasi, suppose if you give sannyas to that person who has this desire to build a five-star hotel, because he has that big desire in him, I want to build a big five-star hotel. Suppose you give sannyasam to him, what will happen? He said. Sannyasi's reply was very good. He said he will become a sannyasi and then he will build a five-star ashram, he said. After that. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.